Now today we're going to kind of dive into a title that I've called Connection. I know it's very, very brilliant. And the main thing I want us to learn today, the hope that that you are able to leave here with today is this, that one of the greatest promises of God has given us is the promise of His presence with us. The greatest promise that you can find in the Scripture is God's promise of His presence with you and I, no matter the situation. And secondly, the greatest promise you and I can offer to the world around us is a reflection of who God is and being with them and His desire to be with them. God's greatest promise is His presence and His promise to you and I. Our greatest promise to the world around us is our promise to be with them and show them God's desire to be with them too. You know, the one thing God said that was not good in all of creation was whenever He looked at the light and the sun and the moon and the stars, He said it was good. When He said, and He looked out and saw all the animals, He said it was good. Whenever He looked down at man and walked with man, He looked at him and He said, that's not good for you to be alone. Did you realize that the connection that we have with one another is the greatest need we all have? To be connected with, to be united and together with someone else and with the community. Studies show that the need for connection and the presence we give to each other is the best thing for each one of us. For those of you who have had a child, you'll probably remember those wonderful moments, usually around 2 a.m., when the crying begins in the crib and you're dead asleep. Or the child who's crying in the middle of the afternoon. The best solution for that is whenever you go over to them, you pick them up and you hold them, right? Now, granted, there's feeding and maybe a diaper change that obviously is going to help out as well, but generally speaking, that connection with mom and dad, with grandma and grandpa, with caregiver, is the thing that soothes the isolation that that child was experiencing. That toddler who's pulling on your leg, begging you to play as you're in the middle of work, have you ever realized that that toddler generally relaxes his grip or their grip on your leg the moment you actually get down and play for a few moments? It doesn't have to be long, but the moment you get down and play and connect with them, they are satisfied. For those of you who are married, you probably realize that your relationship with your spouse becomes disconnected the longer you're apart. So whether that's a work trip that takes you out of town or a hunting trip that takes you out of town or a retreat that takes you out of town for whatever reason, whenever husband and wife are separated for a long period of time, you just become disconnected. And the only solution is, well, getting back together, spending time together, husband and wife alone, rejoicing in the presence. You know, some case studies from past orphanages have even shown that when all the physical needs of a child or a baby in the orphanage was met, but was met with extreme isolation, the children died earlier than the children who were connected with steady caregivers. I was on a staff call the other day with our organization, and we had a guest licensed therapist or counselor come in, and she shared, and some of the stuff that she shared, one of the things was most staggering, and that was this, that in the last 18 months, and all the isolation that has taken place to keep people safe from this disease, the exponential increase in issues of mental and physical health are on a rise. Issues like depression, issues like addictions that many of us face, issues like abuse and suicide rates are on the rise And the single greatest contributing factor that these professionals can figure out is the isolation that has come about. The quality of the relationship with others. It was shared just a few weeks back in a parenting seminar that I was at by Joy Weeks. Many of you might know her, and she said this, that the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. Let me read that again. The quality of our relationships, husband and wife, parent, child, neighbor to neighbor, co-worker to co-worker, the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. So as we think about this theme, connection, this call to be with, one of the things that hopefully you know or will know as we uncover the word is that it is woven throughout Scripture. God's desire to connect. He walked with Adam in the garden. God was with the Israelites throughout their journey in the wilderness by day and by night with smoke and fire. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. God was with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. God lives in those who are called his children through the Holy Spirit. And God's desire and the sole reason for sending Jesus Christ to this earth was so that you and I might be with him for all eternity. That's the theme. God's presence and God's promise for each one of us to be with us. That's his desire. God knew the answer to this from the moment of creation, connection. You long for it. Your neighbors are longing for it. Your children long for it. God longs for connection and withness with you. Jesus modeled this perfectly throughout his ministry, being with everyone he encountered. He never rushed. He always provided what the person needed in the moment. And we see that moment, time after time. But today we're going to actually just look in one passage and refer to several others. But if you will, as Pastor Stacy mentioned, turn to John chapter 1. And we're going to pick a few verses here and kind of camp out on them and then share towards the end some practical things that we need to seek after as followers of God. But beginning in chapter 1, the author writes in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now, let's just pause right there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. With this concept. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. It's hand in hand. Now, I get we serve a single God. We serve God. That is it. But throughout Scripture, we see there is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit perfectly connected together, but each individually separate. Ask me how that works, and I can't really tell you beyond that. God is far wiser than I will ever try to become. But there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Together they make one, but yet they're separate. And what we see here is this beautiful harmony that existed from the foundation of the world, specifically in the relationship of the Word, that is Jesus, and God the Father. The Word of Jesus, and Jesus was with God from the beginning, and he was God from the beginning. The intimacy and the connection that was lived out from the foundation of the world. So right from Genesis 1:1, whenever we read, God spoke, let there be light, Jesus was there. Right whenever God spoke, let this elk come to be, Jesus was there. Right whenever Jesus or God said, let us create man in our image, guess who was there? Jesus. Right there with God from the moment. The deity of Christ was solidified in his connection and oneness with the Father. And the Father's humanity was lived out in the flesh and blood of Jesus on this earth. And that's why Jesus says throughout his ministry, if you see me, you've seen him who sent me. If you know me, then you know the Father who sent me. Paul says in Colossians, he, that is Jesus, is the invisible, he is the visible image of the invisible God. For God, I love this, Paul says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. So we don't have to look very far in John chapter 1 to see what this example of perfect connectiveness and perfect withness, if you will, looks like. God and Jesus connected in everything. They set the example right from the very beginning of the world, what it means to be connected to one another. He shows us this example of withness and connection, then says over and over, that's why, and that's what I want with you. That's what I want with you. And that's what I want with you. And that's what I want with you over here. I want to be that connected with you. I want to be that connected with you over and over. That's God's heart. That's his promise with us. So pick up, if you will, in verse 3. All things were made through him, that is Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Skip down to verse 12. But as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. So all life was given by him, Jesus. And through him, everything around us has life. From the beginning, Jesus was there. Jesus was the creator and helping with creating life. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 15 through 18. He says that he, that is Jesus, existed before anything was created. He's supreme over all creation, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. So Jesus is the source of all life. Jesus is the source of physical life, your spiritual life, and your eternal life. So for those of us who are longing for some purpose, some life-giving opportunity, then all we have to do is look to Jesus. He's that source. And that, next we see here that his life gives way to light. Now there is a stark contrast that kind of is understood in this passage between the light that Jesus, the source giver of life, offers us in comparison to the darkness that exists around us. The scripture says, darkness does not comprehend it. Other translations might say that the darkness couldn't grasp it. It couldn't comprehend it. It's unable to put out his light. If you think of that, as the sun goes down and the lights go out, darkness can't put out the light of Jesus. It's unable to suppress his light, and the Amplified Version puts this, and I love it, that darkness is unreceptive to the light of Jesus. Let that sink in. The light of Christ, the light that is offered in him, that offers us clarity and understanding and comprehension and discernment of who God is, darkness is unreceptive to it. One commentator that I read, author, writes this, that sin always blinds you and I, blinds the mind to the beauty and excellency of the character of the Lord of Jesus. Ooh. So whenever you and I are walking in sin, we're blinded to the excellency of Christ. Whenever we see a world that is shattering and longing for connection and they're stuck in darkness, they're blinded to the excellency and the knowledge of who Jesus is because of sin. This past summer, my wife and my family and I had the chance to go to Lewis and Clark Caverns, and if you've ever been there, you probably know what I'm about to share, but for me, it was the first time. I've heard other people tell me this, and I thought, yeah, right, it really doesn't happen that way. But they take you all the way down in the caverns, and I'm sorry if I'm going to spoil this for you, but that's my role. So they take us all the way down into the deepest, darkest part of the cavern. You're about halfway through the journey. And the tour guide gathers everybody together, and she's like, okay, yeah, everybody's here, counting everybody, all the heads. And she's like, okay, want to let you know, we're going to shut the lights off on you at this point. I'm like, okay, that's going to be fine, no problem. And she's like, it's going to be very dark, don't turn on your cell phones. And so we leaned over to our boys, and we're like, okay, it's okay, we're right here with you, and we've got another little boy that's about now 8 years old, and so we're like, don't be afraid, it's all going to be okay. She's got a light switch, she'll turn it on, and if not, plenty of people have flashlights. And so all of a sudden, she turns it off, and you can't see this far in front of you. And we feel the legs, and my wife kind of reaches back to feel and make sure everything's okay. I mean, because you become afraid all of a sudden whenever you can't see. You don't know where you're at other than the fact that you kind of visually picture that, but you don't know how to get out. You don't know how to go back. It's dangerous in there. And the fear overwhelms you, and that's what we see here. Darkness, sin's ability to keep us blinded to the light of Christ, is holding a world around us captive. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to escape it. And yet here we are, followers of Christ, who've received the life-giving opportunity, who've had the clarity and the lights turned on in our spiritual life, knowing where the answer lies to a hurting world around us, stuck under sin's darkness, blinding power. So praise God for the hope. Praise God for the salvation that is offered with being with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I love how the psalmist writes, and let me read that real fast for us here today. Psalm 36, verse 5, where he writes, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great depth. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness. Therefore, the children of men put their trust in under your shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. Your light we see." You see, God wants us to be connected with him. God wants us to have the light switch turned on and the spiritual and everlasting life given through Jesus. And that is why it says there in verse 12 that he says, "To as many as received him, to them he has given the right to become children." You have the right to become adopted children of God. How wonderful that is, to know that the one who modeled what connection looks like, the one who spoke life into existence, the one who has the ability to conquer darkness's blindness over us, has said, "I want you in my family. I want you in my family. I want to welcome you into my family as a child. His grace welcomes us in. It connects us directly to the one who created. But here's the thing. We have this beautiful example in John 1:1-2 of what connection perfectly looks like in God the Father and Jesus Christ. We have this wonderful explanation from 3-13 of Jesus coming to this world to give us life and light and the choice to become adopted children of his family. All the while, there's a world all around us, hurting, aching, feeling alone, longing for connection, longing for someone to be with them in their pains and their struggles. From the little child who's experiencing trauma today to the family who's at risk and doesn't know where the next paycheck and where the next meal is going to come from, to the family who's welcomed someone else into their family that, man, it's just rough. The world around us is longing for that connection and that life that you and I know about. It's the very definition of the last 18 months has been separation, division, isolation, and we've only just begun to see the results of what that's truly going to look like. As you remember, the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. And here we are, we get this amazing example of what it means, and we get this amazing purpose from that. You and I, who are adopted children of God, have this opportunity now to take what we know and be with those in the community, those around the world who are longing to know God. And so how do we live that out practically? Well, here's three ways, really, hopefully, you and I can leave here today and start putting into practice this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, and throughout the rest of the year. First and foremost, I want to challenge each and every one of us to seek after community with one another. Sounds simple, but it's hard to be with someone when you're in a hurry. And so spouse to spouse, seek after community with one another. Parent to child, grandparent to child, caregiver to child, seek after community with one another. And sometimes, unfortunately, if you're the child in that relationship, you might have to reach out to your mom and dad if they're not willing to reach out. Neighbor to neighbor, we must remove, as individuals who call ourselves adopted children into the family of God, we must remove any barriers that set the stage for relationships so that they can happen. Because the enemy, the natural desire of the enemy is to divide and to separate and to isolate. And there is no greater target than the family unit. One of the targets that is most attacked is the family. And I love this church's passion from Pastor David and Stacy and Mike to build strong families here throughout your ministries. Not just families internally, but the passion here through the children and the youth ministries to the eagerness to bring tools to help empower you and create opportunities for you to serve and connect with families in the community. You see, community fights isolation. It fights addictions that we all struggle with. It fights the temptations we all face every day. Community fights that, and it goes against the nature of evil to divide and separate. So seek community with one another first and foremost. Secondly, seek community with your church. Well, that kind of sounds simple. We're all here today. But it's more than just showing up and filling a seat on a Sunday morning, what I'm talking about here. Seek community with your church. You see, the family of God is supposed to be the light on the hill, the one that is shining the example of who God is that we read about in John 1 and 2, and who God wants to be with us and 3 through 5 and 12 and 13, we're supposed to be shining that example into the world. So you better believe that there's going to be a big bullseye if we are called the family of God on our backs as the church. So seek community with one another means beyond Sunday morning. Get plugged into the ministries. Come to the midweek Bible study times. Come join and be a part of the ministry of raising up well-trained children and youth. Be a part of the discipleship programs that are offered here. Find someone from the church, perhaps even, and once a month, get together with them. Go over to them and say, hey, you know, I don't really know you all that well, but let's go for coffee this week. Hey, it's hunting season. Do you want to go for a ride with me? Hey, it's fall. It's about the prettiest time to be in Montana to look at the colors. How about we go tour Glacier real fast this afternoon? How about you come over to my house this week for dinner? Seek community with one another in their church, because you are the family of God. And if the devil attacks the family unit, individual households, I guarantee you he is going to seek after you and this church and the community of the churches around this valley as hard as he can. Find someone and seek after that. Paul says in Galatians that when you are in Christ, there is no separation any longer, no Jew or Gentile, no slave or free, no rich or poor, no man or woman, no black or brown or white, no old or young, no Californian or Montanan. There should be no longer any us and them. If you are adopted children of God, you are brother and sister. There is either in this world and in this community, there is those who are my brothers and sisters in Christ, where no matter where you go around the country or around the world, you can find and be a part of the family of God. Or there are those who need to be invited into the family of God and shown that Jesus wants them and Jesus wants to be with them for all eternity. That's it. That's the only separation there exists. Those who need to know about God, and we are supposed to be telling, and those we get to celebrate being the family with. And lastly, ultimately, the most important thing you and I can begin to seek after is to seek after community with the Lord. You and I can't give what we don't have. We can't give a world who's hurting, who's isolated, who's alone, our connection and our withness, truly how God wants it to happen if we're not connected ultimately with Him. We can't connect with our spouse truly like we're supposed to, like biblically talks about, if we're not connected with Him. We can't connect with our children or our grandchildren and raise them up in the way of the Lord to where they won't depart from it unless we're not departing from it as parents and grandparents. The best way to make the gospel more attractive to the world around us is to be filled with it ourselves and connected. We need this like driving the car with our gas light going on. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to be filled with the Lord. You've got to stay connected, because the moment that happens is the moment your spouse is going to kick you out with the gas can to walk down to the gas station. It does happen sometimes, at least to me. So I want to invite you, if you don't already do regular time alone with the Lord, to commit to just 15 minutes a day. That's 1% of your day time. 1%, 15 minutes. Start there, whether you're young or old. If you don't have a one-on-one time with the Lord, 15 minutes a day, either reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, singing songs, probably in the quietness of your own house for some of us, but spend time with the Lord alone, worshiping Him. The best way to do relationships better is to be filled and connected with the Lord. So this being with is the greatest need we have, spoken about throughout Scripture. It's God's promise to us. He modeled it for us. He invites us in to be his with him forever, and he calls us to be with others to show them his desire. I hear so often in my work things like this. We love the support of the church and what they offer to the clients and the staff in our office that we see over there. Can I get more of it here? We love the connection with the church for our clients and staff, and we love that they are with our people no matter what the family situation looks like. I see it said all too often, oh, how I wish we would have had some sort of a care community connected and supporting us whenever we were fostering or whenever we adopted that child from overseas. And even, you know, how do we establish from local tribal departments, how do we establish connections with the body of Christ to our families? Those are just three simple areas that I hear over and over and over from those who are outside the walls of the church, waiting for us who are inside the church to engage in their life and connect with them. So the invitation is open. Your family is waiting for you to connect. Your church is waiting for you to connect. The world around us, the hurting families, the professionals, the children, the neighbor is waiting for you and I to connect. The Lord is waiting for us to connect. The question is how connected will we be with them? How connected are we going to be with them and the Lord tomorrow and today, next week? Because the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. I invite you to pray with me as the worship team comes up and closes us to think about that. How connected are you? How connected are you with your spouse, with your children, with the world, with the ministry here in this church? God wants you to be connected. Ultimately, God wants you to be connected with him first and foremost. And if that's not a decision you've ever made, then come and talk with the pastors here. I know they'd love to talk with you about how to join the family of God. If you will, pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for the example you and the Father set. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us as you came to this world to connect with us and the invitation to connect with you for all eternity. Lord, I pray for each one of us that as we leave here today that we will seek after community with one another and with the church and with you ultimately so that we can be better examples of who you want to be in the lives of those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.